You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Kendall Keene, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas and Alabama just a day away from playing at Razorback Stadium in one of the big games of the weekend. The Razorbacks ranked number 20, the Crimson Tide ranked number 2. Arkansas trying to break a 15-game losing streak to Alabama. It's the longest losing streak that the Razorbacks have ever had against any one opponent. It'll be a 2:30 kickoff on CBS. Matt Jones with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph of Whole Hog Sports. We'll break down the game today. And Tom, you've got a unique perspective on Alabama because I don't know, maybe you're bad luck, Tom, because when you were covering Alabama down there, they lost a lot of games to Arkansas. And since you've come here, you've never covered an Arkansas win against Alabama, but you've got a unique perspective on the series. What are your thoughts as you go into this game this weekend?
Well, just to defend my personal position here, Mike Shula was the coach, and Mike Dubose and Dennis Franchione were the coaches at Alabama, not Nick Saban.
Now, Dennis Franchione never lost to Arkansas, but your point is well taken.
Yeah, and he did a good job there. But, you know, Houston that had a way. And, you know, they won 5 out of 9 before the 2007 game down there in Tuscaloosa, the first game with Nick Saban, which – Arkansas rallied from a 31-10 deficit and took the lead. I mean, they could not stop Darren McFadden. And I maintain to this day that if he hadn't gone out with a concussion, Arkansas would have won that game. I mean, Michael Smith came in and did a decent job. But, you know, the Crimson Tide got a break with stopping the clock on a scramble series when they had no timeouts left late in the game on a play that went 9 yards, clearly went 9 yards, and they stopped the clock to measure, when if they hadn't done that, Alabama would have been in complete scramble mode. And anyway, that's what happened. And, you know, the Alabama teams of that era did not have, you know, the same recruiting, the same massive strength in both lines and all that kind of stuff. And for the last 15 years, you know, Arkansas should have, could have, would have won it in 2010 and 2014, and they didn't. And now they find themselves an underdog again for tomorrow.
We had Ben Cleveland at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club this week. Of course, he caught the touchdown pass that ultimately gave Arkansas the win. They had to kick an extra point to beat Alabama in 2006, the last time that they won in this series. And I asked him, I said, you know, what was the difference between when you played Alabama your first year and then, you know, by the time he played his last game against them, they'd already won a national championship. They were, you know, well into dynasty mode under Nick Saban. I said, what was the difference from the first year to the last year? And he said, it's because they had a field goal kicker. And of course, in 2006, had Lee Tiffin been able to make some field goals, Alabama probably would have beaten Arkansas in Fayetteville that year.
Yep, that's the case. And miracle, they made Lee Tiffin available after that game. And it's the kind of thing that I don't think you see in modern football.
Arkansas comes into this game, of course, coming off the loss to Texas A&M last week, a tough loss for the Razorbacks, 23-21. Alabama, they've been rolling. They beat Texas by 1 point in week 2, probably pretty fortunate that they got out of Austin with a win, but otherwise, they haven't really been challenged. They beat ULM, they beat Vanderbilt, they've beaten Utah State. I think the final margin in those three games was 52, 55, and 56 points, Scotty. It's interesting, you know, what is Alabama going to look like if this is a four-quarter game? Just because, not to say they're not conditioned or they're not able to play it, it's just they haven't really been asked to play that type of game very much this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was, you know, working on the keys that we do each week for the game day insert, and I was looking at some of Alabama's numbers on Pro Football Focus, and Will Anderson, you know, kind of their do everything defensive lineman / edge guy / game wrecker. He's played 51 defensive snaps in the last 2 weeks. I mean, there's several guys on Arkansas's defense that played more than that just last week against Texas A&M. And so I think that that kind of gives you an indication of the ease with which Alabama has won its last couple games since getting tested at Texas. And I think I mentioned this on the podcast earlier in the week. I'm just curious to see how they'll respond to maybe some actual real-life game pressure being applied to them this week. You know, if Arkansas gives its, you know, probably fiery home crowd a reason to be engaged early and stay engaged. Yeah, I think that's going to be a big key, because they just haven't, like, their starters and their, I guess, key reserves, maybe guys that are on second team that still get plenty of snaps. I'm going to be curious to see how they respond to that, because, I mean, there's been 350-point blowouts in 4 weeks for them so far.
You know, for Arkansas, they've been playing a lot of snaps. You know, they haven't been in a game yet where their starters have really been able to rest. And a lot of it has to do, I think, with the third quarter of these games where they've been outscored, I think it's 44-13 through four games. And you think back to Cincinnati, you think back to South Carolina, especially South Carolina, if they would have been able just to put a little bit more distance between themselves and the opponent in the third quarter, you know, all of a sudden it might be a little bit different. So Alabama is going to be the fresher team coming into this, but I don't know that that always means that they're going to be the better team. In those keys that Scotty and I did this week, you know, the number one key was the crowd, and that's going to be the number one thing for Arkansas this weekend, I think, is that they're expecting a big, loud, boisterous crowd at Razorback Stadium. We saw over those first 3 weeks when Arkansas played Cincinnati, South Carolina, and Missouri State that the crowd made a difference. The crowd noise made a difference. There have been 13 pre-snap penalties by the visitors in Fayetteville this year, 10 false starts, 3 delays of game. Not all of those can be attributed to crowd noise, but Andrew, I think a lot of them can. And there's probably not been a crowd that's going to be as rowdy as the one that we're going to see tomorrow, at least at the start of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw something on Twitter that said Bryce Young's only played in like 5 true road games, and 4 of them have been decided by one score or less. And so, like, I think if they are able to keep it close or get a positive play early in the game, like Scotty mentioned, that can get the crowd really amped up and get them on their side early. That could definitely play a part in them keeping it close. But if they are going to go out there and give up, you know, an early score or a quick 3-and-out, I think they could be in for a long day.
I mean, they've played some fairly close road games with Bryce Young at quarterback. So I think him just being able to handle hostile environments, I think he's still kind of working through that. We saw that earlier in the year against Texas, did not have his best game, but obviously in the end he was able to make, you know, some really winning plays, you know, in the final couple of minutes of that one to help him get a win there. But, you know, I think Arkansas can legitimately apply some early game pressure, and, you know, get Alabama back into a spot where, you know, their backs are a little bit against the wall. And I really expect, I don't know if this environment throughout the game will hold up the same way that it did against Texas last year. But if Arkansas plays, you know, competitively, you know, I think it could be, I think that crowd could definitely become a factor.
Yeah, that's clearly a key in this one. If being in the game in the fourth quarter, making sure the crowd is still engaged, because Alabama has a tendency to snuff out the enthusiasm of road crowds. I documented the Bryce Young stats in a note today. The blowout was a game at Mississippi State last year, 49-9. But otherwise, all these games have been decided by 3 points or fewer, including the loss at A&M, including the Texas game this year. However, I have a concern for Arkansas in how their defense is going to get Alabama off the field. If you look back at last year's game, they scored on 7 of their possessions, and otherwise they lost it on downs one time. They punted one time. The halves ended with them getting the ball late, both halves, and they had a missed field goal and a fumble. I mean, otherwise they were going down in the scoring range. They went on 4th and short. And so I just wonder, Barry Odom is going to have to dial up some stuff. And they're going to have to get some takeaways, I think, to have a chance. The flip side of that being, he had all those weapons, Mechie, you know, the third down, you know, Jamison Williams getting past people. He had all those weapons last year. And I think he's still kind of finding his way with the new batch of receivers. Talking about Trayshawn Holden, you know, the do-everything Jahmyr Gibbs, Brooks and Burton. Still kind of finding his way with those guys. So I understand the line being what it is, but I just, Arkansas has got to come up with something, wrinkles that maybe confuse Bryce Young that allow them to get off the field 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that point up too, because last year, I mean, he just kind of had his pick of the litter in terms of skill players, Jamison Williams and Mechie, like you mentioned too. This year, it's kind of a there's not really that name at the receiver position that I think a lot of SEC football fans know about, maybe outside of Alabama and maybe some of the fan bases that have played Alabama to this point in the season. I think it's a really big deal that, if Arkansas's secondary is able to hold up a little bit early and gain a little bit of confidence, if you rattle some of those kind of unproven playmakers in an environment like this, I mean, you never know how they might handle that.
It feels like the key for Arkansas is that Alabama's going to have to put the ball on the ground a lot, kind of to what you guys are saying, whether it be fumbles, whether it be drop passes. I mean, we've seen against Cincinnati where there were some overthrows. We saw against Texas A&M where there was a drop on what should have been a long pass, maybe a touchdown pass last week in the game. Feels like Alabama's going to have to put the ball on the turf, and Arkansas is going to have to be able, I think, to force some turnovers in this game, which, Tom, they haven't been able to do the last 2 weeks. Whereas the first 2 weeks, they had a 5-1, five turnovers forced to one committed. The last 2 weeks, it's been four committed and zero turnovers forced. It feels like they're going to have to find some way to get the ball away from Alabama and then not to give the ball up against a defense that's pretty good at taking it away.
Yeah, I agree. They've got to try to claw the ball out. I mean, that's what the Missouri State linebacker did on KJ. Had a helmet on the ball also against Missouri State. So they have not. The ball hasn't been on the ground a whole lot when it was earlier for opponents. So they understand this. They realize it. A lot of things like that have to go in their favor. They can't be a heavily penalized team the way they were the first 3 weeks of the season. And they just got to be really solid in special teams. And I don't doubt that they have something like the Reed Bauer fake field goal pass to Blake Kern last year, things like that in the game that they can pull out if they need them. But I just think, I think I said it this week, if the game goes chalk, I liked Arkansas to beat A&M. Well, it didn't go chalk because, you have the 97-yard fumble return touchdown and you have a missed field goal. So I think if the game goes chalk, Alabama's, obviously got the more talent. So Arkansas has to have some special things go its way.
I feel like the big thing for Arkansas this week is they've got to be able to finish drives. Alabama, they've shut down most of the teams that they've played. Like I said, Utah State was shut out. ULM had 7 points. Vanderbilt scored a field goal last week. Texas is really the game that I think you have to study for a number of reasons. One of them, which is that Texas was able to move the ball pretty well against Alabama, or fairly well, but what they had to do was that they had to settle for a lot of field goals. And we've seen Arkansas have a lot of drives stall in the red zone this year. They've scored 11 touchdowns and 17 red zone drives. They've kicked two field goals. They've came away without points on four drives. And a lot of those have to do, or half of those have to do with turnovers. There was a turnover on downs, and then there was a missed field goal by Cam Little last week after that fumble cost him 9 yards. They got to be able to finish drives this week, Scotty, against an Alabama defense that's pretty good in the red zone in the few occasions that teams have been able to get there.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And I think earlier in the week, maybe we were in our work group text thread, and you were talking about Alabama's red zone defense. I'm like, well, that red zone defense is probably pretty good because they've given up two touchdowns all season in general. And I'm not exactly sure where those touchdowns came from, where, in terms of where they came on the field. But they've prevented teams from getting six. Pretty daggum often. I mean, Texas scored 19 points, but they only had one touchdown. I think they ended up kicking four field goals in that game. I bet Texas wishes, that they could have punched in a score instead of having to settle for a field goal. That would have changed the entire complexion of the game, possibly the way that game ended. Yeah, Alabama's just their defense is just really tough. But I think one of the things that I found really interesting was looking at forced fumbles. Arkansas right now, I think, leads the SEC in forced fumbles with eight. You force a fumble, it doesn't always necessarily mean you recover it. But I think Arkansas may have to have something along those lines happen, whether it's, getting to Jahmyr Gibbs, in the backfield. Maybe I think he's their leading receiver right now. So maybe one of Arkansas's linebackers might be able to punch a ball out. Or, you know, maybe a guy like Latavius Brini. I think he had a forced fumble in that South Carolina game. I think you're going to have something like that. And then you look at Alabama's defense right now, it's kind of like polar opposite of what you're accustomed to. They're tied for last in the league in forced fumbles. They've only forced one to this point. I feel like that's a little bit uncharacteristic. So I think if Arkansas can just stay clean and, like you said, finish drives, I think that gives themselves their best chance.
I feel like Arkansas is going to be able to move the ball against Alabama, don't you? I mean, there really hasn't been a team that stopped Arkansas offensively this year, except for the Razorbacks, you know, with the turnovers and the fumbles, you know, some of the other things that have killed drives. The last 2 weeks, I mean, they had 600 yards of offense basically against Missouri State. They had a kneel down at the end that took it down to 597 or 595. Against A&M last week, they were moving the ball up and down the field, had over 400 yards of offense, but it's been those fumbles that have just been absolute killers. They have fumbled the ball in the last 2 weeks 9 times. Some of those have been due to poor snaps that have gone down as fumbles, but 9 times they fumbled it, and they've lost 3 of those in the last 2 weeks. That has got to get cleaned up against a team like Alabama. You know, one of the other things that I always think is really interesting to watch in an Alabama game, and it seems like it always bites Arkansas, is the non-offensive touchdowns, you know, whether it be a blocked punt or a punt return or an interception return or whatever the case might be. Since 2016, when Alabama's come to Fayetteville, they've scored at least one non-offensive touchdown in every game. A couple of years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was, maybe 5 years ago, they all kind of run together. Trayvon Diggs had a big interception return for a touchdown in a game down in Tuscaloosa. You just can't put the ball on the turf against those guys because they're coached so well to, you know, turn around and start blocking. And they've got the better athletes on the field in that scenario. And they've scored 89 non-offensive touchdowns, 89 non-offensive touchdowns in 212 games under Nick Saban. That's always one area that you really got to watch.
Yeah, that's a fact for sure. And then I'll take you even to the special teams phase of the game. Alabama's got the nation's top punt returner in Kool-Aid McKinstry, and he had nearly 250 yards in punt returns, I think a couple weeks ago, maybe against Louisiana Monroe. And I think he's a guy that Arkansas's got to be really leery of. And I asked Sam Pittman about that. He said they've got obviously really, really high respect for him and the playmaker he is with the ball in his hands. I mean, that's a defensive back that, you know, is getting a chance to get his hands on the ball in a different area of the game. And he's definitely making an impact. Leads the country in punt return yards by a wide margin. I think the number two guy's I think he's from Lafayette. Got maybe 150, 160 punt return yards. So he's leading that category pretty comfortably. I just think Arkansas's got to be super sound in its punt game. It's been a little bit up and down with Max Fletcher, but Sam said that earlier in the week that, you know, they've kind of got to do what they did last week when they shut A&M out in terms of punt returns. And I think South Carolina, I don't think that they had any punt return yards either. So Arkansas has kind of got to replicate that game plan, punt in the right zones, get enough hang time. And I think that could be a plus for Arkansas there if they're clean. I just keep going back to, you know, Max Fletcher's, like I said, had an up and down year. I think he's last in the league right now in per punt yard average. And I just go back to last year, Reed Bauer had 250 yard kicks and he downed a punt inside the Alabama 5. So that might be something Arkansas looks at this year. Not saying that they're going to bench Max Fletcher, but I think giving Reed Bauer a look, that could be an interesting wrinkle for this weekend on special teams.
Yeah, just a quick thought on that. I think Max Fletcher is going to wind up being a good kicker because he's got the full repertoire. He can do the torpedo kicks, the long spirals. He can check them up, and I think he can get rolls forward and backwards. He just hasn't been able to do that yet, and his strategic punting hasn't gone as planned. And the way Sam Pittman put it was he has to punt the way he does in practice. Well, you know, Anaya Smith had no punt return yards last week, but there were some really short punts. So
very true. That's true. Good point.
They're just giving the kid a really good chance here. I think some other coaching regimes might have already turned to Reed Bauer because he's done it before. And I don't doubt that that could happen before the year's up. But then Max Fletcher, you know, would have a chance in the coming years to be the kind of punter, full spectrum punter we believe he can be.
I think Tom would back me up on this. Like when we saw Max in the spring and even in the preseason, the kid can boom punts. I mean, he just really good hang time, really good distance too. And I took away in the spring when we got to watch him punt, he just kind of punches the ball with his foot instead of like you get the complete follow through that you see from a lot of punters. I'm obviously no punting expert, so I can't really give him any tips or anything, but that's always been kind of interesting to me. But he looked good in the spring and what we saw of him in the preseason. But I guess it's just a completely different animal kicking in a stadium with everybody watching and a really good rush coming at you sometimes.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and Pittman said that after the first game against Cincinnati, he said, look, this is the first time he's ever kicked in a game in front of people watching him. You know, I mean, he didn't even play in front of like Cedarville Mountainburg, where there might only be a couple 300 people in the stands. He's never played in front of anybody in the stands. And so, you know, I think that there could be some game shyness that's going along with the, I guess inconsistencies is the word that Pittman used earlier this week, inconsistencies in his punting. And you don't even have to go back to spring practice, Scotty. You can see it in the pregame warmups when he's kicking. He's booming them then. It's a different deal whenever the, you know, whenever the game begins. We talked about this a little bit defensively. It feels like the number one key for Arkansas in this game is going to be how well its pass rush can get to Bryce Young. Arkansas leads the country with 20 sacks through four games. That's four more than any other team. Middle Tennessee is second with 16. Drew Sanders is tied for the national lead individually with 5.5 sacks. Of course, he's playing his former team this week. I think the type of athletes that Alabama has at receiver, they're going to be really hard to cover one-on-one. And Arkansas's over-the-top safety help has not been great since Jalen Catalon went out in the first game. So you're really going to have to get some pressure, I think, on Bryce Young, or, you know, the point that I think a couple of you have made earlier in this podcast, it could be a really, really long day for the secondary. You think back to what Bryce Young did a year ago, and that was probably with a better collective secondary on the field for Arkansas. They've got to get some pressure up front to take away those deep passes.
Yep, Young passed for a school record, 569 yards and 5 touchdowns. It's a double-edged sword, right? You pressure him, but you miss him, and he gets out, and then he's on the edge, and he can run it, or the broken plays he's just been fantastic at. So, that reining him in some ways, because I think Alabama will be quite content to dump like 3-yard passes or even right on the line of scrimmage passes to Gibbs and other guys and see if they can break tackles, because that's been an Achilles heel for Arkansas.
Yeah, it's super interesting though too, like with Bryce Young, if you get pressure to him, you know, that you knock him off his spot, that's great. But I mean, he's got the kind of legs where he can, you know, he can take off and run for 15, 18, 20 yards, and he can do that essentially anytime. I mean, he's that kind of athlete. And I remember when Texas had Alabama on the ropes in week two, Texas sent it may have been a corner blitz or a nickel blitz off one of the edges, and he just completely ducked a sack attempt that would have completely changed the game, and it would have put Alabama behind, I think, maybe on its game-winning drive or its go-ahead drive. And Arkansas can't afford to do that. I mean, if you get your shot at Bryce Young, you got to be really sound in your technique and get him on the ground as quickly as possible. Looking at, and I reference Pro Football Focus numbers a lot, I just think the numbers are super intriguing. When he's got a clean pocket this year, he's completing over 75% of his passes for 11 touchdowns and over 900 yards. And when he's under duress, his completion percentage drops to 42%, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. And so if Arkansas can just in any way get him a little bit uncomfortable consistently, and like that he receives that snap from the center and knows that he's got a rush coming from somewhere, he might get the ball out really quick, and he might, you know, they might be able to combat some of that that pressure from Arkansas by throwing into the blitz, and where all those bodies are coming from. But if Arkansas can get some consistent pressure on him and have him know that that heat is coming pretty consistently and they get to him, I think Arkansas's got a shot.
Speaking of Drew Sanders, just got a press release that he's been named the Butkus National Linebacker of the Month. So that's a pretty big honor for him. I guess that puts him in the driver's seat right now for the Butkus Award, maybe if the season ended right now, Tom?
Well, yeah. Still got a bunch of games left, but I think the national folks are well aware that Drew Sanders has been a revelation for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, the front runner for that award is Will Anderson. Maybe he plays with a little bit more fire than he has even previously this weekend. Who knows? Maybe he's motivated by that. You got to feel like there's going to be a little bit of that, going on between Sanders and his old linebacker mates this weekend. Just trying to maybe one up each other.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably see a little bit of edge too from Alabama. Maybe Will Anderson too. I remember earlier in the week. I think it was maybe his Monday or Tuesday press conference. He was saying that what motivates him these days is, getting fans to leave their own stadium a little bit early. And I think he made a comment like the audacity that opposing fans have to show up in their own stadium and the opposing team has to even walk off the bus and walk into the stadium gets him going. So I guess that's kind of where Will Anderson and Alabama's defense is right now. They're kind of having to manufacture things to motivate them. But I mean, I guess he's going to be pretty pissed off on Saturday because there's going to be a lot of folks in the stadium.
Yeah, that didn't quite work at Austin earlier this year. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King Design, Display, Signage, KendallKing.com. That's KendallKing.com.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kendall King, ShopCart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win and we'll be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Hope you're joining us at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on October 12th when Hunter Juracek will speak to the sports club. He was supposed to speak earlier this year, had a funeral that he had to attend, had to reschedule, so he'll be at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on October 12th. Doors will open at 11:45 a.m. Program will begin at noon. You'll get lunch and get to hear Hunter Juracek. We'll have you out of there in an hour. That's going to be at the Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive in Fayetteville. For more information, go to nwadealpiggy.com. All right, the Razorbacks in Alabama, one of the big games of the weekend, not the only one. There's a number of top 25 matchups this weekend, and time for our weekend predictions. We'll save the SEC games for last. We'll talk about some of the other top 25 matchups around the country. Two of them come from the ACC. We'll start this week with Wake Forest at Florida State, Tom.
Man, I'm having to pull up my picks because this was a difficult slate of picks because I thought a lot of the road teams were going to be really, really challenging for the home teams. Wake's coming off a pretty emotional game at Clemson, and I'm gonna pick Florida State. I'm not going to say they're back, but they're a much tougher out this year, and I'm going to go with the Seminoles.
Pretty wild. I was looking at the ESPN tracker, I think last night while I was watching Utah State and BYU, and I saw that Florida State's ranked for the first time since like 2018, which is pretty wild to me. So I think they're trending in the right direction, so I'm going to go with Florida State. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if Wake Forest won. I think last week they proved that they can put up points against the best teams in that league.
Yeah, I took Wake Forest in this one after I watched the Wake Forest Clemson game last week. Just Sam Hartman makes that team a completely different team, and he was dotting up the Clemson secondary, so I think he'll have much better success against Florida State as well.
I think it'll be close. I went with Florida State for two reasons. They're at home, and I think the letdown factor for Wake Forest is real after being so close against Clemson last week. I also think that Florida State beating LSU might be a little bit better than people give them credit for. And so I think that's a pretty nice win for Florida State early in the year that might look even better than people thought it did after week one. I think Florida State by a hair in Tallahassee. Another big ACC game this weekend. Clemson hosts North Carolina State. This is going to be the College Game Day game of the week. Probably the reason, well, the fact that Arkansas lost to A&M and this game, the reason that Game Day is not in Fayetteville this week, Tom.
Yeah, and I guess they're going to probably have some rain around. I'm not sure what the Hurricane Ian's going to be doing at that point, but could be a sloppy one. NC State's gotten off to a good start. They had a wacky game early on against East Carolina that I think that was the opponent, in which they could have lost, and they didn't. And I've got Clemson winning this game.
Yeah, I do too. I tend to give, in these top 10 matchups, the advantage to the home team. There's going to be a really fired up crowd for Clemson, I would imagine. And I think there's some issues with them at quarterback. I'm completely not sold on DJ Uiagalelei. Did I say that right? I think I nailed it, actually.
Congratulations. Great job.
Thanks, man. I'm taking Clemson in that one. I think North Carolina State's been a pretty good story to this point in the year. Even if they lose this game, they'll probably still go on to have a pretty good season.
Yeah, that was a very impressive pronunciation. I also took Clemson just because they had an impressive game against Wake Forest last week, and I think the home crowd will be excited to see a top team come in there.
Scotty, how long did you look in the mirror trying to pronounce Uiagalelei?
No, hey, first try, nailed it. So,
I think Clemson wins. You know, they've run roughshod over the ACC for so long. You kind of in these picks, you learn there's certain teams you don't pick against. You know, you don't pick against Alabama, you don't pick against the Patriots, you don't pick against Clemson. Clemson, just so consistent, and I think they win this one on their home field.
Oh, I also remember just watching DJ in that TV show. I think it's QB1 Beyond the Lights on Netflix. I think he was featured in one of those seasons, so had a little bit of a head start on that one.
Big matchup in the Big 12 this week. It's a rematch of the Big 12 championship game last year. Oklahoma State goes to Baylor. The Cowboys ranked number 9. The Baylor Bears are number 16. Of course, OSU came 1 yard away from probably playing in the playoff last year. Dave Aranda's defense made a goal line stand at AT&T Stadium. Tom, you think the Cowboys get revenge this week?
Well, there's a whole lot of incentive for them. They're the higher-ranked team. Baylor already has the loss at BYU, which, when you watch BYU last night, I mean, they struggled to run the ball in the first half. They did in the second, but it sets up for the Arkansas game here in a few weeks. I got Baylor winning. They're at home.
Yeah, I'm taking Baylor too. I think they've learned a lot since that BYU loss. They handled Texas State pretty handily. And then no matter what you say about Iowa State football, their home crowds are really fun when their team is even halfway decent. So to go there and get a win, I think that's probably a momentum builder for them. I'll go with Baylor this week.
I also took Baylor solely because Oklahoma State's resume doesn't really include a very impressive win to this point. They had Central Michigan, Arizona State, and Arkansas Pine Bluff, so that doesn't really scream top 10 team to me.
They've got the talent, though. I got Oklahoma State. I think they go in and pull off the upset this weekend. I like Spencer Sanders, their quarterback, and I like Mike Gundy in some of these big games. They just, I know they don't win Bedlam very often, but, you know, in some of these other games, when they're top 25 matchups, seems like OSU really carries its weight pretty well. And I think the motivation from last year in AT&T Stadium, I think that plays a factor this week. And I think Oklahoma State goes to Waco and picks up a big win. LSU goes to Auburn this week. It felt, Scotty, you said, like dead man walking, watching Brian Harsin coach that game against Missouri last week. Auburn they were able to find a way to get out of it. Of course, Missouri, you know, kind of gift wrapped the game right there at the end of regulation and in overtime. You know, we already mentioned that LSU looks a lot better. Tom, is there any way you think Auburn can pull off this win on the Plains?
Well, I think they haven't let go of the rope yet, even though they didn't look very good last week. But hearkening back to what you said, I do think LSU is going to be a tough game for a lot of folks this year, and I've got them winning.
I'm really impressed with Jaden Daniels right now, the LSU quarterback, just total dual threat guy. And I think he's somebody that can, you know, you kind of need that kind of player sometimes that can, you know, keep a defense on its heels, not knowing whether he's going to get the ball out to his guys on the perimeter or, you know, just take a two-step drop and then take off and run up the middle with the ball. That's pretty tough to handle. I've got LSU. I follow some Auburn beat writers on Twitter, and I think in Auburn's last five or six games dating to last season, they haven't scored more than 6 points in a second half in that span. So if if that can change, Auburn might be able to hang around, but I don't have just a whole lot of belief in that offense.
Yeah, I took LSU as well, and there was no doubt in my mind that I was not picking Auburn after watching them try to lose to Mizzou last week. I mean, both of those teams neither of those teams deserved to win that game last week. It was ugly, and so I like LSU, and I don't really think it'll be close.
I think Will Anderson's going to wish he was on LSU's team this week. I think they're going to clear Auburn Stadium out pretty quick. I think LSU wins really big. It would surprise me if Auburn wins. It would surprise me just a little bit less if LSU doesn't win by double digits. Maybe a pretty big game or a pretty big week for LSU in Auburn. A game that a lot of Arkansas people are going to be watching closely. Texas A&M goes to Mississippi State. Of course, the Razorbacks lost to the Aggies last week, and they play Mississippi State next week in Starkville. The Bulldogs with the first of two top 25 teams coming into their home stadium. Tom, how do you see this one going?
Well, I think this is where we might start having some divergent picks. I battled with this one for a long time. I'm not sold that A&M has a quality offense, but Max Johnson is just one of those guys who doesn't get you beat from what I've seen. I like the scrambling ability. I think they'll be able to run the ball a little bit better on Mississippi State than they did on Arkansas, and I have them winning.
Yeah, that boy's got the good Lord on his side throwing up some of those floating passes that end up going for touchdowns or big gains in big situations. I don't know exactly how he does it, but I think he's kind of that game manager type that I think A&M needs. I went with Texas A&M, and then yesterday I was doing some reading and found out that A&M doesn't have Anaya Smith for the rest of the season, so that's kind of a tough blow. So I think they're probably going to lean on Devon Achane quite a bit. And I think that A&M defense, like I said about another team earlier in the picks, I think it was Baylor learning from that BYU loss. I think A&M's learned a lot about its defense since it kind of got manhandled against App State. So I'm going to go with the Aggies.
Yeah, this is where we differ. I picked Mississippi State in this one, mostly because they're the home team, and I don't think A&M is really as much of a contender as they were thought to be in the beginning of the season. I know they're coming off that win against Arkansas, but I think Arkansas kind of gave that one away. And I think if Mississippi State can play a cleaner game than Arkansas did, they shouldn't have any problem.
A&M was a concern even with Anaya Smith offensively. And, of course, him being out, I think, is a really big concern for them moving the ball. But their defense can really play now. And I think that their defense will stop Mississippi State, or at least slow them down enough. And I think A&M wins this. Something to remember, last year Mississippi State went to College Station and won 26-22. I think A&M goes into Starkville and wins this week. Wouldn't surprise me to see Mississippi State win, but I got A&M in this one. Okay, there's two top 25 matchups in the SEC this week. Arkansas-Alabama, of course, is one. The other one, Kentucky at Ole Miss. Both of these teams are undefeated.
This is my upset special. I just don't know if we have enough info and data on Ole Miss because of who they played. I mean, when they crushed Georgia Tech, I thought, okay, very impressive. They can run the ball. But then, you know, they turn around and, you know, Tulsa was hanging in there with them for a while. I just believe that Kentucky is just fundamental and their defense is just tough. And I know that the win at Florida, you know, in hindsight, Florida's got some offensive struggles, but you know they got it going late against Tennessee. So I'm just going to go with Kentucky on a whim.
Yeah, I went with Ole Miss, and I think the home field advantage is going to play a factor in the game. And you know, I think Kentucky's one of those teams that's, you know, similar to Arkansas in that they, you know, place a huge emphasis on physicality and toughness. And if Ole Miss can find, you know, any way to have success running the football, I think they'll be able to grab a win.
Yeah, I'm taking Ole Miss, and I'm sure you guys heard Lane Kiffin complain about the crowd last week for the game against Tulsa. And so I think the Ole Miss fans got the message, and they'll be more than happy to stick in the seats for a top 10 team coming in there. And I think they'll probably be a little more rowdy and help them win that game.
Hey, there's a way to fix that. Schedule better opponents. Don't have Tulsa come in as your opponent, and maybe you get more people to show up. I think Ole Miss beats Kentucky. I've been impressed up until last week with Ole Miss's defense. I'm interested to see if that game last week was an aberration, or you know, if that's the way Ole Miss is going to be. Of course, they haven't been great defensively under Kiffin, but man, they were really strong those first few weeks, including some games where the Ole Miss offense took some time to get going. I think Ole Miss beats Kentucky simply because I don't know that Kentucky can score with Ole Miss. And so, you know, I like Kentucky, but I think Ole Miss wins this one on their home field. I tipped my hand a little bit earlier. You got Alabama at Arkansas. I said I'd never pick against Alabama. You know what my pick's going to be. Tom, you think Arkansas can pull off the upset?
Oh, I think they certainly can, but I think they have to win the turnover margin by more than one, and just have some special stuff happen, as I mentioned earlier, like in special teams, like the Bauer to Kern touchdown last year, things like that. And I don't know. Until Arkansas ends this streak, it's going to be hard to pick them, and I've got Bama.
Yeah, I've got Alabama too. I think Arkansas can make it competitive for a while, but I just – anytime a team's got a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback on its side that has, you know, seen a lot in terms of road environments, neutral environments that, you know, are on like this big stage, games of great magnitude, he's been in those. You know, I think Arkansas could rattle him a little bit early, but he always settles in to games. And so I have a concern about, one, Arkansas's defense being able to get off the field, like Tom said earlier, and you know, Arkansas's pass rush not exactly getting home, because it didn't last week against Texas A&M, and I thought Arkansas had a clear advantage there against a better front in Alabama. I don't know if Arkansas will be able to get home as much, and I think that Bryce Young will probably be able to have pretty good success, you know, throwing the ball down the middle of the field, where he's been phenomenal this year.
Yeah, I've also got Alabama, and I initially thought this could be a close game where maybe if one or two things break the right way for Arkansas, they could sneak out with a victory. But after hearing or doing the recall of Bryce Young's game last year, that 600 yards of offense, 6 touchdowns against a probably better Arkansas secondary than he's facing this year, that kind of makes me think this one might not be close.
If Arkansas had Jalen Catalan, I would pick Arkansas to win this game. He is such a difference maker at the back end that, you know, I trust them. Their secondary a lot more with him in there, but you know, with him out, the safety play has just not been good for these last few games. You've seen South Carolina, Missouri State, A&M all exploit the safety play for the Razorbacks, and I think these next two teams will do it quite a bit as well, Alabama and Mississippi State. And so unless Arkansas figured something out in practice this week with a personnel change or something, and somebody steps up in a big way in the back end, I just don't see how they can get Alabama off the field enough to win this game. And they've got to do something and win the turnover battle, probably by two or more turnovers. And in the last couple of weeks just haven't giving you a good feeling that Arkansas is going to be able to win the turnover battle. Of course, you know, like we said earlier, they're minus 4 in turnovers in these last two games against Missouri State and Texas A&M. So I went with Alabama. I hope it's a great crowd. Hope it's a great game that goes into the fourth quarter. And I would love to see nothing more than Arkansas get a big feather in its cap win for Sam Pittman against Alabama this weekend. Just hard to see that happening. But hey, you never know. That's why you play the game. There have been weirder things happen than a top 20 team beat Alabama. Go to WholeHogSports.com all weekend for our coverage before, during, after the game. You can also find our Whole Hog Football podcast next week as we recap the Alabama game and we begin to look ahead to the Razorbacks game with Mississippi State. That game, by the way, has been announced for an 11 a.m. kickoff. in Starkville on October 8th. For Tom Murphy, Scotty Bordelon, and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next week.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.